Good morning. So good to see each and every one of you here in Sunday school. We got a few people on the road. Albert and Judy are out. They're all going down to Houston, I believe. And Albert's got some work down there. And then Ray and Geraldine are out. Of course, Reese, pray for Reese. And quite a few are out and about. But I'm glad that you're here. And we're going to be over in the 10th chapter of John this morning in Sunday school. John chapter 10. And while you're turning there, I'm going to tell you, as I was preparing this lesson this morning or this week, I thought about a song. Sometimes a tune gets into your head, and this chapter, reading this chapter and studying this chapter, brought a song to mind I heard many, many years ago, and I don't even have the music for it, but the title says it all. The title is, I Find It All in Thee. Talking about us finding everything we need in our Savior, in Jesus Christ. And let me tell you, as we get so busy in life with all of our jobs and with all of our concerns and all of our media devices, you know, our phones and laptops and computers, we get so busy and tied up with things. It's so easy. Even for a child of God to maybe not forget, but maybe to not always remember that everything that we need is found in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We tend to rely upon things that are coming in, things that's going to help us make this bill or pay for this or get through this. Our health is another one. And we tend to forget that everything for the child of God is found in Jesus Christ. Last chapter, in chapter 9, we saw this blind man who was healed from the blindness that he had his whole life. And it was Jesus that got him through that. Now, there was great anger because of that. The self-righteous scribes and Pharisees eventually kicked this man out of the synagogue because he had a testimony. They excommunicated him from the nation of Israel because he testified to the power of Jesus Christ. So as I was reading this, I was reminded that this whole chapter, almost the whole chapter, is about the great shepherd, Jesus Christ, the great provider of all of our needs. And so because of that, as you hold your finger there in John chapter 10, let me read a few verses and you'll know immediately where this passage is. But I want to read it because it'll set the tone for the lesson. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Oh, just think of that statement right there. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. Now I'm reading slow on purpose, okay? These are such great words for the child of God. He restoreth my soul. Who in here has not had week upon week of getting so discouraged at times? And He restores our soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I have always been amazed at that phrase right there. The valley of the shadow of death. That just sounds terrible. It sounds terrible because it is terrible. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. For years, my granny in Georgia had this picture. Don't ever know where it went, but had this picture on the living room wall of a shepherd and about 20 or 30 sheep leading them down through this ravine. And at one point, he's got his rod, which almost looks like an umbrella handle, just like that. And a sheep has fallen in a crevice, and he's got that U shape on the end of that rod around that sheep, lifting him back up to safety. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So let's read John chapter 10, the first 21 verses, would you? Verse 1 says, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. And so Jesus says unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Another great phrase found in God's word. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling. He's a worker, a paid worker, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. Wonderful verse. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings, and many of them said, He hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, These are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? Now, in our age of technology and the way we live, this story requires a little bit more imagination. Who in here has a flock of sheep in their backyard? We do not. However, in their age, this would have made so much more real, moving sense. There were many shepherds. And what we find is that the ancient sheepfold of that day existed of a corral somewhere in a place that was common to many shepherds, maybe right in the middle of many shepherds in that area. And it would be fenced in, and there would be what they would call a door. Historians tell us that most of the time there was no gate over that opening. And we'll see why in just a minute. But during the day, the shepherd would take his own sheep out and spend that day with them, and they would be wandering in the pastures and feeding and getting their exercise and their fresh air, and they'd be taken care of. But at night, he would take his sheep to the sheepfold. And there would be a man there, a hired individual, who would be put there to watch over all of the sheep during the night. And the man would go home, go to bed. The next morning, he would come out, and he would, when it was time to go to work, he would go back to the sheepfold, and that man who was hired there, the porter, would see him coming and would step out of the way and let this man go and call his own sheep that knew his voice, knew him by voice. Now that just amazes me right there. I did a little bit of looking into this, and it's a very common thing that I didn't really, I've known this, but I've never really thought about it, I guess. But a sheep understands and hears by voice much more than most animals. They get used to their shepherd's voice and they follow that voice. And so this man didn't have to corral his sheep. The shepherd didn't have to do anything by force or activity. This man would just simply go to the door into the sheepfold, and he would call his sheep, and they would hear his voice and come and follow him. Isn't that neat? And so Jesus uses this analogy about the sheepfold. That's what it was called, the sheepfold. And that porter, during the night, he would lie in the doorway of that sheepfold. And so the next morning, when the shepherds came to grab their sheep, to get them and go do their thing for the day, the porter would simply get up and step out of the way so sheep and shepherd could be united again for the day. And so verse 1 says, "He that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." So he's simply making a statement that a shepherd does it the right way and he comes in through the door and he calls his sheep, but a thief or a robber would more than likely try to come into the corral or to the sheepfold some other way, jumping the fence, destroying the fence, however you want to think about it, and he would try to take the sheep that did not belong to him. But the shepherd, by entering in the way he enters in, shows that he cares for his flock. As he comes to the door and he starts calling them, and I did a little reading on that phrase, by name. The materials that I read said that often shepherds would have names for each sheep, which if you had a lot, that would be something else to remember. But it was not critical that they have names for their sheep because the sheep knew the voice. They knew who to follow. Now here in these verses, it's on the tail end of chapter 9, and that was all about the nation of Israel rejecting Jesus Christ. They said he's not the Messiah, he's not God, he's doing this miracle somehow by fixing this blind man's sight, but we don't know how, but he's not. It's not because he's God, he's not. So they rejected him. And here in these first few verses, the sheepfold represents the nation of Israel, okay? Jesus is telling them that he came in by the door. He came in the right way. He did it legally, if you will. He did it biblically. Now, if you'll remember, every Christmas we hear all these prophecies all throughout the Old Testament. We read these prophecies of how Christ comes onto the scene in the New Testament. Galatians 4:4, when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. And we see all these prophecies how Christ was the real Messiah. He was the one foretold all throughout the Old Testament. He came in the line of David, according to the prophecy in Luke 1. He was born in Bethlehem, according to the verses in Micah chapter 5. And not only was he in the line of David, but he was born of a virgin, according to a prophecy in Isaiah 7. So we see all of these things, and it tells us that he is the true Messiah. He came to the nation of Israel through the door. He's the right one. He's the legal one. He had all the credentials that he needed. And anybody else and anything else would be just a thief and a robber. You see, in chapter 9, the man who had been healed, because of his testimony, he was put out of the temple. He was excommunicated from the nation of Israel. And Jesus is opening up this discussion that he is just who he's been saying that he is. He's the Son of God. He came the right way. He's the shepherd of the sheepfold. Now look in verse number 3. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. Many biblical writers will tell you that the porter represents the working of the Holy Spirit. The porter would see the shepherd come in the morning, and as the shepherd comes up to the door and steps out of the way so the sheep can come through, they have said that this function, this job that the porter has is like the Holy Spirit today, and it makes a lot of sense. The message of Christ goes out every Sunday morning, every Sunday night in a lot of places, and Wednesday nights the message of Christ goes out as you and I read God's Word by ourselves during the day. And what is the one thing that makes us to understand? The Holy Spirit. If I don't have the Holy Spirit bringing attention and understanding to my head, I could read all day long and not understand what I need to understand. The Spirit of God came upon Jesus, and everything that he did by the Spirit of God as he was on this earth. The Spirit opened the eyes of those that needed to see. The Spirit brought healing to the man that we saw in chapter 7, the pool of Bethesda, who was healed from that 38-year-long disease that he had. And Jesus is simply blessed. He is simply the one that has the credentials, and any other person that comes in any other way, Jesus is saying, is like a thief and a robber. And I love the phrase that he calls them by name. Aren't you glad of that? The blind man in the last chapter got called by name. Simon Peter, when he was called by Jesus, was called by his name, and then Jesus changed his name to Peter, which means a rock. He called James and John and Nathaniel and Philip, and then he stopped under that tree in Jericho and looked up there and called Zacchaeus by name. He calls his own by name. That gives me the assurance to know that he knows me. He knows he's got my number, and he's got your number too. He knows exactly where you are, and he invites us to follow him. And verse number 4 says, and when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. So the shepherd comes to the sheepfold in the morning, and his sheep are mixed in with all these other sheep. There's no brands like they do with cattle. You know, they don't have to mark them, because they're the unique characteristic of the sheep, they listen for their shepherd. Why is it, do you think, that in God's Word, a child of God is compared to a sheep? Because it tells us exactly the kind of person we need to be. We need to be listening to the voice of our master. The Lord says, these sheep will follow this shepherd because they know his voice. Now, you think about that for a minute. What a grave statement to make. All throughout the New Testament, we see statements to this effect, that if we're a child of God, it's going to be something that is known. You're going to see it. You're going to see the effects of it. You're going to see proof of it. And here he's in essence saying that when he leads his sheep out of that corral in that area around the sheepfold, he goeth before them. And what do the sheep do? They follow him. So if we're talking about salvation, which this entire chapter is a wonderful example of salvation, it's an analogy, an allegory. of salvation. If we're talking about salvation, what do the children of God need to be doing? They need to be following the shepherd. And the little bit scary part of this is we like to think of our salvation in terms of, yes, I did this when I was 5 years old. I did at 5 years old. I walked the aisle and I knew what I was doing. And the reason I know I'm saved is because every time I've stepped away from the Lord, He has brought great conviction upon my heart. It was real. But we as people, we tend to get real comfortable in that point of salvation, that activity, that time that it happened, don't we? We take great comfort in that fact. And we should. It's a wonderful, wonderful part of our life. But if you read what Jesus teaches all throughout the New Testament, like He teaches here, if Christ is our shepherd, we will be following Him. We will be following Him. So I'm just trying to say that as a child of God, we must know that what Jesus' message was that if we're a true child of God, we're going to be following Him. And verse 5 says, "And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." I think this is another very good phrase, a good principle for us. You know, it's easy to get sidetracked as a child of God, isn't it? I mean, you can flip your TV and you can see some of these very large mega churches and then you hear news stories about the same people, about the millions of dollars and the jets that they have. I mean, this goes way back. This has gone back as long as I've been alive, and I'm sure a lot longer than that. A lot of swindlers out there. And sometimes the child of God gets swindled. But he's making a wonderful statement here that the true child of God, when he gets into the Word of God, God's Spirit will bring him understanding, and he's not going to follow the false teacher forever. The Spirit of God and the Word of God is going to draw him out, and he's going to follow the true shepherd, the good shepherd. Verse 6 says, "This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them." So a lot of people hear the Word of God, but we don't always understand the Word of God. We don't always listen with an ear or an eye to understand what we hear. That's why our Lord says in Matthew 13, "Who hath ears to let him hear, let him hear." Don't be like the self-righteous scribes and Pharisees in chapter 9 who were blind, and Jesus said, "Because I came to help you see, you will not see, so therefore you are blind." The same thing with our ears. Sometimes we have ears to hear, but we don't actually hear. Jesus says in Matthew 13, "By hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive." And verse 7 continues and says, "Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep." Now, he was the shepherd of the sheep just a minute ago, okay? Now he's the door of the sheep. How can a shepherd be the door? Well, if you remember, the door, in most cases, they tell us, was just an opening that the porter would sleep across, and he would get up in the morning as the sheep were going in and out as needed when the shepherd came. But now Jesus previously is said to be the shepherd. Now he is the door. He's both. He says, "All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. But because he is the door of the sheep, he comes to the pen and they hear his voice and they understand who he is." Says in verse 9, "I am the door." Another statement. First it was the door of the sheep. Now it's the door. As we said, the sheepfold was a symbolic of the nation of Israel, but Salvation goes to many more people than just Jews. The New Testament is very clear about salvation being brought to the Gentiles. It says, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. You say, well, what is that in and out and find pasture? That's Psalms 23. All the refreshment and all the nutrition, spiritual nutrition, all the things that we need as a child of God, we get as we go in and out of the sheepfold. The shepherd brings us everything that we need. He leads us down the places we need to go. When we misstep into that little crevice and we can't get out ourselves, the shepherd uses his rod and he pulls us out. That's why the song came to mind this week, I find it all in thee. And what's so unfortunate is if you're like me, you know that and you've heard that your whole life and you believe that. But at times in life, we just get so, what's a good word? We get so focused on something. Distracted, thank you. That we forget. I mean, I put myself at the top of the list. That's why I have appreciated all these years being able to do this lesson. Because many times, and Stacy, you know what I'm about to say. Many times you get so busy in life and you're actually kind of cramming like a student would for a test. I'm cramming for this lesson. And in cramming for this lesson, God's Word gets a hold of my brain and gets a hold of my heart and just pounds on it just like this. And he speaks to me. About out of time. Let's continue reading here. I am the door in verse 9. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Oh, friends, can I just tell you that the Savior came to this earth not just to save us from a lifetime of eternity in hell. He didn't come just to save us, to provide an escape for us. The Savior came to this earth to lead us in a way and down a path that is an abundant path for us. He gives us not just what I need. He gives us not just what you need at the very minimum to exist as a child of God and to get through life. No, He gives you an abundant supply of what you don't even need. That's a great verse, isn't it? I am come that they might have it more abundantly. I was looking for, I wrote down a definition of that. And here it is. One of the commentators I read said, they shall not merely have life, simple, bare existence of life, but they shall have all those super added things. I've never heard of that word till I read this phrase. Super added things which are needful to make that life eminently blessed by God and very happy in life. I like those words, Linda. I want to be very happy in life. As a child of God, I want to be not only just content and following the Lord and doing what I want to be happy doing it. And that great verse right there tells us that that can happen. So, a quick review. He's the door into the sheepfold. He's the door of the sheep. He's the door. And then in verse 11, he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, that's just a paid worker. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and he careth not for the sheep. There's so many things that you and I can put our faith and trust in this world, and there will be no satisfaction. They do not care for us. A lot of churches would be that way. A lot of religions that you could attach yourself to. A lot of cults that you could attach yourself to. Careth not for the sheep. So he's the good shepherd, but elsewhere we read in the Bible that he's the Lamb of God. Well, how can you be both the shepherd and the Lamb? Well, he's called the Lamb of God because he became a person. He became a part of humanity. He's called the Great Shepherd because he's deity, he's God. And in one person, the person that we've been studying since John chapter 1, Jesus Christ, we see both. No other human being could do this. No other entity could do this. It had to be God. So as we finish the chapter in weeks to come, just remember that when you stop and think about the idea of the sheepfold and the idea of how the shepherd comes in the morning and he gets to the sheepfold, he gets to the pen, the porter steps out of the way, and the shepherd comes into the doorway and he calls his sheep. And when the sheep hear his voice, they follow him. That's the whole picture right there. And just like this guy in chapter 9 who was cured of his blindness, and at the very end, the Bible says that he believed and he followed the Lord. That's what our Lord wants us to do too. And wherever we are, whether it's that person who's got a death in his family, or that patient who just got told about that mass on his or her lungs, he wants us to follow him. And he's promised us that it won't be just he'll not just get us through, but that it'll be an abundant life that he'll give us in the process. And you know, that abundant life may be in ways that we don't even think right now. If you look at Reese and her situation, you would think that the only good answer here is that mass go away, right? That's how we think. That's the most common understood way. But maybe God's got something so much better for Reese with that mass being there. Doesn't that blow your mind? Because we see these things, these type of things, through very short blinders, very narrow blinders. And God's got the big picture. So what we want to do is pray that God bless Reese in this deal no matter what. And give her that abundant life whether she's got a mass on her lung or not. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for